good to have you in the Lord's house this evening. We're happy that you're here. And if you're visiting with us tonight, you're especially welcome. We want to say a word of welcome to those viewing our service online tonight. And we're thankful that you've been able to join with us. It's good to see our sister Jane with us tonight, here for a special presentation to Mum and Dad. And also good to see Steve and Beth as well there. And Kim, you're very welcome tonight in the Lord's house. We're happy that you're here. I want to remember again, it was an unusual time this morning to have so many of those that have lost loved ones recently. And our sister Grace Puccini, who was in the service for the first time since the passing of her husband Tony. And we were happy that she was able to come. And I encourage you to please continue to remember these dear ones that have had to say farewell to ones that they have loved and have known. And now there is a vacant spot, and it's not at all easy for them. So let's hold up those ones that have lost loved ones. Do also pray for the sick ones tonight. We're happy that Dr. McClellan was able to be in the service this morning and take part in that tribute that was given to our brother George. And yet he is, you know, undergoing some weakness and some health problems. And so we do pray for our brother and ask the Lord to keep his hand upon him. There are other sick ones. We don't name each name tonight, but we do hold them up before the Lord much in prayer and encourage you to remember them before the Lord. It's a busy week for our staff in the school as they make preparation for the beginning and the commencement of school. And orientation is tomorrow and Tuesday. Do pray for our staff members, as they will need much grace and help in their preparations, but also in the uncertainty that lies in front for this incoming year. There's already rumors and talks about lockdowns and shutdowns again, and those are difficult for students, for staff members. Let's pray that God will give much help and direction. Remember, please, all the administration of the school and all the details that have to come together to make this year, well, again, a success. We do look back last year and all the ups and downs that there were in school, out of school, problems here, difficulties there. But, you know, the Lord has given much grace, and he has answered prayer for us in bringing along the right number of students for this incoming year, for helping us with the right staff members to come alongside, and also the students to join with us. So these are our blessed and positive things. Remember, please, the prayer meeting Wednesday night at 7:30 will be in person downstairs and then also on Zoom. After the prayer meeting, we will have a meeting of the Sunday school teachers. Please remember that. This morning, I mentioned to you a bit about the Behind the Wall children's program that has been going online from really January of this past year. And I want to bring you just a couple of stats to encourage you that from its inception, really, in January the 1st until just August the 28th, this incoming week, there have been over 1,887 views online, and over 1,000 of those have been video views. And the number of countries that have been downloading or at least listening to, it's been quite encouraging. I was quite surprised when I heard this. Of course, our own nation, Canada, and the United States, the United Kingdom, Spain, China, Philippines, Czech Republic, Russia, Australia, New Zealand, Belgium, Switzerland, France, Brazil, Germany, Ireland, Nigeria, Singapore, and the Ukraine. And so that should be an encouragement, not only to Daniel and Rebecca, who've been doing that ministry, but also to know, and so that we would pray more earnestly that God would make use of this for boys and girls and the adults that are able to tune in to the Behind the Wall program, that it would indeed be a rich blessing to everyone who takes part and who is able to watch that. I want to remind you that for the young people and for the young adults in the congregation, we have an outing that will be happening on September the 18th. That's a Saturday. And I know that you were emailed some information about that. And please respond so we know and have a number of how many will be able to attend in and for that special fellowship time. Word of thanks to the folks that have been involved in helping around the complex this summertime, both in the grounds and in the building maintenance. A lot of work has been accomplished, and we are very, very thankful for each one who has contributed. And I know that others have been doing work behind the scenes, and not necessarily in physical labor or work, but others have been doing other types of ministry and labor, and it is much appreciated. We are very thankful to the Lord. Well, at this stage of our service, we have the opportunity of really acknowledging and paying tribute to our sister Linda. And so I'm going to come down to the pulpit there. We have a couple of presentations to make, so just give me 1 second. In our service this morning, we had the opportunity of sharing and paying tribute to our brother George. And I was very happy that Dr. McClellan could be here. Already mentioned about his own health problems he's been having and the weakness of body. And it was all he could do to be here, but he didn't want to miss the occasion and just to share some reflections. And so it was an opportunity for us to give a plaque to our brother this morning and to read out those words of to our esteemed brother. And I don't know, George, where that plaque is, but maybe you'd want to leave it out in the back. Some folks might want to take a look at it a little bit later on tonight and just to have a little sharing in that. We recognize the 46 years that our brother has served the Lord here faithfully. Dr. McClellan mentioned about the time that they met, and George and Linda, that is, and then were eventually married. And as Linda moved back over here, she became involved in the work of God here, primarily in our school ministry. And that happened just around the time of 1991, so it goes back to about 30 years ago. And that is really a milestone by any dimension at all. And so we are very, very thankful to have the opportunity of paying worthy tribute to you, Linda, tonight for your work as assistant to the business manager. And there are so many responsibilities that are involved in that. And yet, for the most part, it is one of those jobs that is behind the scenes. And a lot of the accounting work, a lot of the small details of things that have to be taken care of, well, I can say that in those responsibilities, she has covered them very, very thoroughly and very faithfully over the time from the very first day. Oftentimes, as I'd be in the school, over the years, Linda would come from her office here, working with her husband upstairs and going over to the school to collect the necessary correspondence and business, whether it had to do with finances or the accounting responsibilities. And some of the tasks that she had to do would be very joyful, some of them a little bit more onerous, I'm sure. One of them would be counting all the money that would come in for school class trips and all the classes and all the money that would come in, and she would have to take the accounting for every class, for every student, and well, that would be that's a big responsibility, but it was certainly had to be done and kept very, very careful. But every time Linda would come into the school, she would always come with a very cheerful attitude and a smiling face. And it was really sunshine is brought into the office, and it was always a welcome thing when she would come over. And the joy in her heart, well, it was evident that she was happy in the work that she was doing, happy because she was working and serving the Lord. Now, George hinted a little bit about the close quarters that they work in upstairs together. And, you know, that in itself is a great testimony of the harmony where which they worked together as husband and wife, but the harmony that they had also in doing the work of God and as they serve faithfully. And, you know, the reason behind all that is not just because they're two nice people and just because they have a nice relationship together. Those things are true. But at the heart of it, it's because they love the Lord. At the heart of it, it's because they are dedicated to Christ and His service. And that's what has motivated them and propelled them forward in their life of service. And so, you know, among the many jobs that Linda had to do, and one of them would be, you know, purchasing supplies for the start of school year. And again, this year was the same way. Going to Walmart, Costco, whatever the store might be, to all these suppliers and getting all kinds of things for classroom things, and then bringing them all to the school, sorting them out for each classroom. The textbooks that would be ordered from across Canada and the United States, sorting out all those textbooks, making sure they go to the right room, and to keep them all in order. Those things were done behind the scenes, but they were done with great care, and they were done indeed with great love. And we acknowledge that tonight and pay heartfelt tribute to the work that our sister has done for these 30 years. It is indeed a milestone. And of course, when George acknowledged and announced his own retirement, I'm sure they had discussed it together that it would be an opportune time and the right time that Linda would also be retiring from her work specifically in the church and school to do with the administrative responsibilities. But her ministry in the church, of course, will continue on in the areas that she can serve and what she desires to do. And so we want tonight to present a small token of our appreciation to our sister Linda. And also we have a gift for George as well. And so we'd like both of you please to come up tonight here. Now, I hope I get these right. George, is pink your color? I think we'll get this right here. And so, Linda, I would like to present this to you as a token of our appreciation for your work and your labor. And Brother George, I'll give that one to you as well, brother. Now, also, Mrs. Newell, come in, Mrs. Newell, has a presentation to make also of some flowers to our sister Linda. Very good. Well, I'd like us to please acknowledge thanksgiving to the Lord and also to commend them to the Lord. Let's give them a round of applause, please. Now, after our meeting tonight, in the hallway, we want to have a time of fellowship, and we hope you'll be able to stay if you feel comfortable to do that. We certainly look forward to that. There are some sealed cupcakes for you. They will be on the table at tables at the back in the foyer, and there are also some drinks there. And please feel free to take a cupcake and a drink, and then you make your way outside. If the weather is favorable, there's supposed to be some rain a bit later, we're not sure. But you have the canopy out there anyways. Make your way out there and don't rush away and enjoy the fellowship. And we also have a special cake just for George and Linda. They can eat the whole thing themselves. And we will take a picture at the end as they're out at the table there and just acknowledge this time to remember this. Now, Linda, I didn't think you wanted to make a speech tonight at all, did you? No, we didn't. George, I don't know, brother. You're done. You don't want to say anything else.
Yeah, I'll repeat myself.
Very good. Well, the Lord bless you, folks. Thank you very much. Let's sing again to the Lord's praise, please, number 28, Great God of Wonders. We'll stand as we sing. I invite you to turn tonight to Exodus chapter 15. The book of Exodus, chapter 15. We read today the first 10 verses of this chapter. And it is the theme of Moses' song. I don't know exactly how they sang this song, because as it's written here, it is not really singable. But perhaps in the Hebrew, it would have been more easy to have sung. But nonetheless, whether they sang it or they spoke out the words, it was a testimony. It was that which spoke from the heart of the people of God, of what the Lord meant to them, for what He had done for them. I want to read tonight from verse 11 down to 22. Who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like thee? Glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders. Thou stretched out thy hand, thy right hand. The earth swallowed them. Thou in thy mercy hast led forth the people which thou hast redeemed. Thou hast guided them in thy strength unto thy holy habitation. The people shall hear and be afraid. Sorrow shall take hold on the inhabitants of Palestina. Then the dukes of Edom shall be amazed. The mighty men of Moab, trembling, shall take hold upon them. All the inhabitants of Canaan shall melt away. Fear and dread shall fall upon them. By the greatness of thine arm, they shall be as still as a stone. Till thy people pass over, O Lord, till the people pass over, which thou hast purchased. Thou shalt bring them in and plant them in the mountain of thine inheritance, in the place, O Lord, which thou hast made for thee to dwell in the sanctuary, O Lord, which thy hands have established. The Lord shall reign forever and ever. For the horse of Pharaoh went in with his chariots and with his horsemen into the sea. And the Lord brought again the waters of the sea upon them. But the children of Israel went on dry land in the midst of the sea. And Miriam, the prophetess, the sister of Aaron, took a timbrel in her hand, and all the women went out after her with timbrels and with dance. And Miriam answered them, Sing ye to the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. May God bless his word to our hearts tonight. Let's bow, please, in a word of prayer. Father, we're thankful tonight for this opportunity we have had of paying tribute to our sister and brother and for their life of service. And I pray now that as we have read the scriptures, that they will be open to our hearts, that, Lord, we would be instructed. Give us hearing ears and understanding hearts. Lord, I pray for that necessary help of the Holy Spirit. Cannot depend on self, cannot depend on human resources. Lord, I stand in need as ever. And I pray, Father, there would be a word in season to every heart. I pray that any in our gathering or watching online who are unsaved, the Spirit would speak on to their heart and bring them to Christ in simple faith for salvation. And I ask, Lord, that each of us who give testimony that we are believers, that we will be strengthened with might in the inner man, and that we would be edified and built up, strengthened in our most holy faith. Help us, Lord, as we think tonight on the subject of the worship of our God, of the song of the Lord, and as we give praise from our hearts, Lord, you would direct us in all things in our lives. Bless us now. Hear our prayers. In Jesus' holy name we ask. Amen. I had intended today on sharing with you the second part of chapter 15 for our study as we've been investigating this. But really, I think it would be more beneficial if we dwell on the first half of the chapter and really reiterating what was communicated this morning briefly. And I did touch on the first point that I wanted to leave with you, but I pray that God will encourage your heart as we think again on these matters, because the events that are unfolded in Exodus 15 are very important. These are not just Old Testament historical issues. These are in reality gospel issues. There are things here that are contained that are for every generation. And it really doesn't matter when you live, whether it was in the time of Moses or the time of our Lord or today in 2021. Because we know that the Word of God is always fresh. It's always powerful. It always has just a word in season to the waiting heart. The events of Exodus 15, they really bring to a conclusion over 400 years of slavery, of captivity of Israel. Generations of the Israelites had suffered much under the hardness and hardship of their Egyptian masters. Long gone were the days of Joseph and the affinity and the favor that he had received from Pharaoh, where he was exalted, lifted up, and then it was through Joseph and the favor that he had with Pharaoh that his whole family was able to be brought into Goshen. And there they developed and grew, and, well, Joseph died, and the Pharaoh that was over Joseph died, and there arose another one that did not know Joseph or the Lord at all. And so it seemed to begin that there was that bondage, that use of them as slaves within Egypt, and they were not free to just go as they pleased. They were incarcerated. It was a hard time. And it lasted for over 400 years. You know, as I was thinking about this, I thought, we can say that so easily, can't we? 400 years. Think back of what 400 years would have been from where we are today. 1620. How much water has gone under the bridge from that time historically? How much water has gone under the bridge from the Church of Christ? 400 years. The people of God were in this captivity, and they were praying for help from God. They were crying out to the Lord for deliverance, but no deliverance came. And that generation died, and another generation came on board, and they grew up in captivity, in slavery, and their parents would tell them the stories of how they got there, and they would begin to pray, calling out upon the Lord, help us, we need deliverance. But the heavens to them surely seemed as brass. They surely seemed to be closed over, and God was not listening to them. believer, I think that you and I face sometimes very similar situations in our own lives. We feel in some kind of bondage, some kind of oppression, maybe even some kind of depression. And we wonder, is there a way out of this? And you call out to the Lord and you're crying to God, but it doesn't seem that He is answering you. And sometimes you get to the point of really feeling, Lord, have you forgotten to be gracious to me? Ah, believer, remember this, that God's timing is different from our timing. And the Lord is never in a hurry. According to His providential timetable and the plans that He has and what He was intending for those who were in Egypt. And I think it's only in heaven that we will fully come to realize what all God was doing among His people during that time period. We often think about the 400 silent years between Malachi and Matthew. Well, were these not 400 silent years in one sense? Where God did not appear to be sending prophets to His people. Moses was one man that appeared all of a sudden and came as a deliverer. But where were all the other deliverers? They seemed to be absent. Well, as I mentioned to you this morning again, and reiterating some of the accounts of history, when God raised up Moses to be a deliverer and he came, Pharaoh actually turned up the heat against the people of God, and they then had to produce the same tale of bricks, and things got worse before they got better. But God was moving. God was active. And He was working through Moses, and when He went to Pharaoh and said, let my people go that they will worship me. And Pharaoh, you know how it happened in the one plague, and the second, third, fifth, down to the tenth plague, where finally the firstborn was taken from every Egyptian home. But the Israeli homes were protected because over them the Passover blood had been applied to the doorposts. And so every firstborn within the Israeli homes were safe and secure under the shed blood. And as they had prepared themselves that night, they had their clothing on. They did not take their clothing off to go to bed. They slept in their clothing. They were ready to go at a moment's notice. And in the morning light, when it dawned, they all gathered themselves together and they began in that march to exit from Egypt. Of course, at that time, they were almost hurried out by the people because the people had been speaking their voice to Pharaoh, and so much trouble and trial had come to them because of the Israelites, and they wanted them out. But after they had gone, well, Pharaoh's heart was again changed. And he thought that, what have I done? All my labor has gone. And so he began to pursue them with his armies. And God put a wall of protection. And as they were at the Red Sea, he commanded Moses to lift his rod. And God did a great miracle in the dividing of the sea. As Israel went over and they had salvation on the other side, and Pharaoh's army went into the midst of the water, and God blew with His wind, and the waters came and closed again on all the army of Pharaoh. God had done at that time a great deliverance. And this was the inspiration for the song of Exodus 15. I don't know how you would have composed such a song, but what we have before us is the composition of inspiration. The Holy Spirit speaking through Moses as to what exactly would be the content of this song. And so, friends, as we come to think about the Song of Moses. I pray that it will be an encouragement to our hearts as we look at the content of it and see exactly what it exemplified, and see how that the Lord used His own people and the circumstances that were around there in order to receive glory to His name. The first thing I share with you tonight again is this: the reason for this worship. What was behind it? Well, it's rather obvious, isn't it? There was deliverance from the enemy. The enemy that had so plagued them was no more. And all the threats of chariots, swords, spears, death, it was all gone. Almost in a moment, all the fears they had were taken away from them. Many thought, indeed, it would have been an impossibility. I am sure there were a whole bunch of people in Israel that thought, this is the end. It's over for us. A dream of our deliverance will not now be fulfilled. But then, the morning after, as they awoke and realized what God had done for them, there was great deliverance. Oh yes, there was the fear of the approaching army, the fear of at the Red Sea when it was still closed and there was no way for them. But God is the one who opened up the way, and He made a way for His people. And friends, in the same case of in our situation, when there is a block and a hindrance, and we have prayed long and hard, but nothing is happening, God is the one who will make the way for us. He will open that door. He will remove the obstacle. He will come to help. Do not be discouraged. Do not be disillusioned. Do not think for a moment that God has forgotten. To be gracious, He has not, for He cannot and will not ever forget His people. For He loves us with an everlasting love. Yes, it was not easy for them. But as Moses reiterates before God and the people in this song of what the Lord had done for them, look at verse 2. The Lord is my strength and song. He is become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare Him a habitation, my Father's God, and I will exalt Him. The very beginning and start of the song that He has from His heart and for all the people of God, it is a song of thanksgiving because they are saved. And He acknowledges that God is my salvation. Moses had trusted in the Lord, sometimes a bit shaky, quite possibly. But nonetheless, he had trusted in the Lord, and he knew that the God of heaven was his God. And he was thankful for that, and he praised and exalted the name of the one who was his great Savior. Look over at verse 13. Thou in thy mercy hast led forth the people which Thou hast redeemed, that was guided them in Thy strength unto Thy holy habitation. This is, in one sense, looking at the present of what exactly has happened, but there is also a note of faith here in this song, looking ahead to the habitation that the people of God would eventually come to. And Moses says here that, yes, we have been redeemed. Redemption is a great gospel word, because we also have been redeemed. We have been bought out of the slave market of our sin. Israel had been bought and purchased from Egypt. God had redeemed them. And tonight, friends, because of the cross work of our Lord Jesus, we have been purchased from our own sinful way, lost and on the road to hell. But God has reached down and He has lifted us out. He is my salvation. He is my Redeemer, because He has purchased me. Exactly the words of verse 17. Thou shalt bring them in and plant them in the mountain of thine inheritance, in the place which thou hast made. Verse 16, the very end. For thou hast purchased us. At what cost? At what price? What is it, friend? And how have you been brought out of your sin and into righteousness tonight? How is it that you have been saved and redeemed? By what cost have we been purchased? It is a cost of the blood of Jesus Christ, the cost of His suffering on Calvary. It is a cost, my friend, of which we could never have paid, for we are empty and have nothing to pay with. But the Lord has purchased our eternal soul salvation, and we shall be forever with the Lord in glory. Deliverance for Israel had finally come. They were free from the clutches of Pharaoh here. And Pharaoh is a striking type of Satan. Our salvation from the devil's power and prison, and us being brought out of that bondage that we were held in, is a great picture that is given to us here in Exodus 15. You know, we were on a road to a lost eternity, had it not been for God's sovereign grace that has kept us, arrested us, and brought us in. We were doomed forever and forever. But now, today, our sins have been washed away. And today I know that I am seated in heavenly places in Christ. And I know that because my seat is there, it means that my sin has been taken care of, because Christ died once for all the sins of His elect. And tonight, we know that we have been redeemed. And there has been an amazing change that has taken place in our hearts. A change that is as radical as the change that occurred from the Israelites that were once being pursued and in the threat of death and destruction. And all of a sudden, in a moment, that was gone. And the sea closed over on their enemies. And they were delivered and free. And friend, it's just like that when we were saved. In a moment, we were brought out of our sinful state and into a state of righteousness, into a state of being clothed with the righteousness of Jesus. You thank Him tonight for that? Can you praise His name for that? Can you rejoice with all joy? Remember back to that day when you trusted in Jesus. When the truth sinks into our hearts afresh and it grips our souls with fresh power, then indeed from our hearts will have to come a song. And as the hymn writer spoke these words, come and sing my soul and praise the Lord, who hath redeemed thee by His blood, delivered thee from chains that bound, and brought thee to redemption ground. But not only is there the thanksgiving for redemption and salvation and deliverance, there was also in this song the praising of God for the destruction of the enemy, the destruction of that which represented Satan and all of his power. The opening verse of this hymn of praise states very clearly that it is to the Lord that their song is directed. Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and they spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord. The question is, why? For he hath triumphed gloriously, the horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. And this is how this biblical hymn starts. But it's interesting to notice the second stanza of this hymn. We find it in verse 4. Pharaoh's chariots and his host hath he cast into the sea. His chosen captains are also drowned in the Red Sea. The depths have covered them. They sank into the bottom like a stone. These are sometimes hard things for us to read, aren't they? Because it really comes to us as seems very, very difficult, very harsh words. These are hard things. And sometimes we might conclude that they are rather unchristian-like. Ah, but friends, let's think again. Let's consider again what the Lord has shown us from His Word. But not only here, in other portions of the Scripture as well. I encourage you to turn for a moment to Revelation chapter 19. Picture and the scene before us in Revelation 19 is a glorious one. It's a scene in heaven. It's a scene of those who are around the throne of God. And we note something here also. There's a song that's taking place. There's more singing going on here. In verse 1, after these things, I heard, John is speaking, a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Alleluia, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. For true and righteous are his judgments, for he hath judged the great whore, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and hath avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. And again they said, Alleluia, and her smoke rose up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the 4 beasts fell down and worshipped God that sat on the throne, saying, Amen. Alleluia. Here was a song being sung at the very throne of God. And the song was one of rejoicing and thanksgiving over the destruction of Babylon the great whore. And to think about those things, my friend, they are challenging and difficult for us. But at the same time, we can rejoice and say, yes, this is a biblical pattern set for us. It was the destruction of those that hated God. The destruction of those who had set themselves against God and against His Christ. And my friends, we are told in Thessalonians that there is coming a day when Jesus Christ will return from heaven and He will come back to this world. And this time it will not be in humility, not to be born as a babe in Bethlehem, but it will be as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and He will come with glory and great power. And He will, from the sword that proceeds out of His mouth, by His own word, He will destroy the devil and every enemy and all that have opposed Him. It is a biblical matter to have a holy hatred for the devil and his work. This is the Word of God. And this was a major part of the song and the hymn that Moses and the people of Israel sang to the Lord. They rejoiced that God had given them the victory, and that those who were the enemies of God, they were destroyed completely. Some might wonder, was Moses kind of out of touch with Christian grace? Notice what he said in verse 3 of Exodus 15. He said, "The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name." He declares he is a man of war, and then he follows that up with using the name Jehovah, declaring that incommunicable name of the God of heaven, the omnipotent and all-powerful God. We do well to remember that the Lord gave to Moses one of the greatest compliments that a man could ever receive from the Lord. Moses was the meekest man in all the earth. The meekest man? And yet, how do you put that beside what we have in this very hymn of praise and of thanks to the Lord? It is the very root and heart of gospel truth, friend. That's what we have. Martin Luther, the Reformer, he expressed this theme in his hymn, "A Mighty Fortress is Our God." In the third verse, it says this, "And though this world with devils filled should threaten to undo us, we will not fear, for God hath willed his truth to triumph through us. The prince of darkness grim, we tremble not for him. His rage we can endure, for lo, his doom is sure. One little word shall fell him." And that word that Christ has given to us to resist the devil and he will flee from us, but the greater sense will be the word that Jesus speaks when he comes. And that will be the end of the great enemy of our souls. But you know, we also, on the opposite side of that scale, and as we try to understand and put all these pieces of the puzzle together, we remember and hear the words of Jesus to his people. We are to love our enemies and do good to them that despitefully use us and persecute us. And you wonder, well, how does that measure up to what we've read here in Exodus and what we find in Revelation? And what we find of the very coming of Christ again. And friends, the Lord is teaching us through his word that as we go through our life, and as you and I face our enemies, how we are to respond to them, how we are to show to them there is a higher level. But the very praise and thanks that Moses was giving, that John recites for us, were those who were the enemies of God, those who had set themselves fully and completely and sold out to the Lord's destruction, demise, as Satan has done. Those who are engaged in the overthrow of the Lord and his work. We do remember the warning that the Lord gave to James and John. You remember when the Lord was in Samaria and he was going to Jerusalem, and the Samaritans, they weren't too happy about the fact that he was not going to be with them, and so they rejected Christ. And James and John wanted to call down fire from heaven like Elijah had done, but Jesus turned to them and he said, you do not know what spirit you're of. And so James and John thought, we're on the Lord's cause here. We're going to call down fire and we're going to see these people burn because they rejected the Lord. But Jesus said, you don't have the right spirit here. Because quite possibly, and we ask this question, in their hearts, were they motivated more by their prejudice, by their bias against the Samaritans? Don't forget, they were Jews. Is it something that they just wanted to see? We'll teach these guys. No, that spirit is not right. And we have to guard in our own hearts whenever our spirits are more motivated by carnal direction than by spiritual. Because the Lord tells us that the wrath of man works not the righteousness of God. And that's how we must measure these things, friends, as we see them in our own lives. There is a need for all of us to have much wisdom in these areas, much grace from the Lord given to us, and much deep understanding, so that we don't have knee-jerk reactions, but rather we respond and react the way the Lord would have us to. Yes, there was a reason for their worship in this song, but I want you to notice also the one to whom it is directed. This is such an obvious point that it almost does not need to be stated, does it? Of course it was to the Lord, it was to Jehovah. It's not just obvious, but I say to us tonight, as it was to them, it was their joyful duty. Because it is the end of all of our existence. Man's chief end is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. And our praise and our worship to the Lord is to glorify Him with all that we are, with all of our being. Let us never forget this truth. I say to myself, I have to be reminded of it. I'm sure you sense the same thing. Because we get very distracted in the world. We get consumed with so many other things that setting the Lord in the forefront of our mind and heart, the one to whom is to receive all of our worship, we can be distracted and we must be brought back again. You know, I've been guilty so many times of just bringing to the Lord the leftovers from a busy week, exhausting with so many duties. You come to the Lord's day and what have we got to give to worship to Him? A busy Saturday, maybe a too late of a night, come with sleepiness to the house of God the next day. We're all guilty of that in some time, some way or another. But you know, when we are brought to worship the Lord with our offerings and our tithes, when we come to give to the Lord attention to the preaching of His Word, and when we sit around the Lord's table at communion time, and when we lift our voices in solemn and sacred worship to God, all of these things are part of our heart, devotion, and worship to Him. And it must all be directed toward the Lord. That's why our offerings and tithes, yes, friends, they are worship unto God. Let's give to Him, therefore, of all of our being, of all that we have. For the living and true God of heaven and earth, He is the infinite, the eternal, the unchanging God. Let us beware of small thoughts of the Lord. Let us pray that we will always have exalted views of the God of heaven. Strive always, my friends, to think of Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord, our righteousness. And then we will say, as Moses did, I will sing unto the Lord, yes, I will, with my heart and my whole soul. It is such a great privilege, you know, for we know this, that God doesn't need our praise, but He allows us to give it to Him. He allows us to give our offerings and our tithes to Him. He is allowing us to be a co-laborer and worker with our God. And so we will say, bless the Lord at all times. Bless the Lord and all that is within me. finally and briefly, the content of this song. We've been thinking about that, different parts of our message so far. But really, it sums up in this. It was a song full of the praise of God. It was full of his praise because it exalted his nature and his character. It was full of thanksgiving for help. They cited the specific ways in which the Lord had worked for his people. In this, let's beware that we don't trivialize the Lord and our worship by using words that are not appropriate for him. You know, many Sunday school choruses are full of praise to God and good doctrine, but there are some that are rather trite and somewhat irreverent. But of course, that goes along with our hymns as well. Some hymns are excellent and very good and full of the doctrine of Scripture, and others might be on the lighter side. It's always good for us to choose and seek for hymns and songs of music that are taken from the theme of Scripture and taken from the base of the Word of God. And as we come to seek him and serve him with all of our hearts, it doesn't necessarily mean, friends, that just because something is old, that it's going to be better. There are many old, great hymns, but there are a lot of old ones that are not much use either. And there are a lot of modern pieces of music that are good, and hymns that are good, and some that are not so good. So biblically inspired songs we're given this pattern in the Scripture, and we need to follow after that and pay close attention to it. And so in the content of Moses' song, there was an exaltation of the Lord. There was praise for redemption. There was thanks for deliverance of the enemies. And there was an acknowledging of the purpose of God in the destruction of those very enemies. And so, friends, let our hearts be filled with biblical praise, be filled with thanksgiving. And so you and I will be able to say also, I will sing unto the Lord, and I will acknowledge him. Paul said to the Corinthians, whether therefore ye eat or drink, or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. That's a great pattern for our lives. That applies to everything, every area, every direction we're going. And may the Lord help us to follow after him in this way as well. Let's bow, please, for prayer. Our loving Father, teach us from the Scriptures tonight, I pray. Give us understanding in things that are deep and sometimes, Lord, quite confusing to us. Give us clarity. Give us spiritual discernment. Give us understanding in things that we need to know and do in order to glorify our God. Bless us now, we pray. Thankful for today in the morning service, the opportunity we have had of paying worthy tribute to our brother and sister tonight. And Lord, bless our fellowship after now. Help us to eat and drink to your glory. And bless them. Bless George and Linda and their family. Bless them in their ongoing work and service for Christ. And we pray, Lord, that as others come along to fill their shoes and take their place, that there will be much blessing poured out upon them as well. Hear our prayer tonight. Receive our thanksgiving, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.